Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you once again to our prayer call on Monday night. The last 14 weeks, we dealt with dealing with curses on the bloodline, ancestral curses and others. We dealt with cleaning your legacy and the lineage line and legacy. We've been dealing with, and we haven't dealt with it, what we're doing is covering an overview of these things, your rights, your authority, your position, and we've asked you to do some things. I asked everybody to take communion on and fast for a meal last weekend, and unfortunately I had an attack and the enemy came after me and put me down for Monday. I greatly appreciate everybody and their call and their prayers. Matter of fact, I forget who I said this to, but you'll understand. They said they had just had a great victory. I said, be very careful. On the heels of your greatest victories comes your greatest attacks. And then I got attacked. I went to a hospital on Wednesday to pray for somebody that had cancer. The Lord gave me a word. I prayed for the cancer and said it was going to be encapsulized. It was going to be the size of a tennis ball. They're going to take out part of her colon, but there would be nothing in her lymph glands, and God was totally going to heal her and restore her. And that's exactly what happened. And I blessed the Lord about it and got all excited, got a little puffy in myself, and immediately got slammed with a severe sinus infection. I said, okay, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. You get ahead of yourself. We all can get there. And so I just want to encourage everybody that to know that it doesn't make a difference who you are. You can be tempted, and right after I counsel somebody on, now I remember who it was, when I counsel somebody on their victory and the attacks coming right after, the attack came upon me, and I did not see the blood of myself coming out of the hospital. And you always, after you had a hospital visit, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, particularly when you've been going in to deal with sickness and infirmity and breaking off curses. So I want to encourage everybody. I mean, I'm going to go back a little bit, talk about the things that we've just, every week I do this, just a little snippet, and then bring you forward. The biggest thing is that I want to mention about the Day of Atonement, which was last Friday, Saturday. That's the day when our curses get carried away. As far as historically, that was the time it was celebrated. That was the feast, the 10 days of awe, going into that, when curses get washed away, and that was the reading of Deuteronomy and the scripture to see what God was doing and why. And in that, you can truly be amazed because God will show you that celebration of the Day of Atonement for the people of Israel is also your promise, your right. I mean, every day we have this right, that the Spirit of God would say curses are broken. And what happens when God utters the fullness of his word to break off those curses, to sever the enemy from your bloodline and your family, that literally your sins are atoned for. And in the legal profession, I don't believe our dear friend the judge is on yet, but Dr. Mosley, but when an attorney or a judge will tell you this, when something's expunged, it literally is wiped away. Totally. All records are supposed to be destroyed. And that's what the Lord does. The sins are carried away. They're expunged. They're taken away, never to be seen again. So as we celebrate our Lord and Savior, our High Priest, our sacrifice, we've got to understand in awe, in great awe, that is what he did for us. And that's why it's called the Days of Awe. And that leads up to tabernacles, God dwelling with man. So many people know and understand that God literally, Christ was born during tabernacles. Historically, we can go back and show you the dates and the times, exact date. I can't trace that down right now, but I can pull that together for you. And that he will return during this same season. Tabernacles. He'll probably return on his birthday. He'll come back and celebrate his birthday by destroying the work of the enemy. So this has been a season where we're to bless God. And we're to pray not only for the nations and pray for Israel, pray for this nation. Our history is that of a wicked nation. We've had great blessings and great wickedness. So the Spirit of God wants to enter in during this season, even more so. He's available more so. Now, all of us as Christians have the fullness of the Spirit. Anytime we call upon him, we have the right to go before the throne. Anytime we desire to, but there's a greater emphasis by God. Therefore, if he's showing it for eternity, then there's got to be a greater emphasis. So as we go into this season, as we recognize that we've had a duty to go before the Lord and ask him to forgive us, this time period that we've been doing this teaching literally falls in line with the blood moons. It falls in line with what God is doing now and where he wants to take all of us. It also lines up with what we're supposed to be doing. Now, on the monuments in Washington, D.C., they have God Bless America all over the place, and they were totally put on an era. A lot of people want to take all those, chip all those things, God Bless America, off. I agree with them, because they were put on wrong. They should have been put on America Bless God. Our great God and our King is so awesome that he forgives our sins, that his mercy is so great, that he gave his son through the blood, that we need to bless God all the time. I sat down with a pastor, dear friend, this week. We were there to do some ministry and helps, in the area of helps. And he was praying for me, and I said, don't pray that way. He was praying that God bless me, and he says, what do you mean? I said, pray that I get bless God. And in blessing God, we will be blessed. And that's something I want to emphasize tonight. We're in a season where we're supposed to come before him with great joy, with great thanksgiving in the midst of the trials. David shared something with me about 20 minutes ago, and I asked him to share it tonight. We're going to talk about that. When disappointments come, he's still the great God. When attacks come on your body, he's still the great God. When it gets really, really bad in your life, when it seems like oppression and depression are so overwhelming, he's still the great God. When we get so beat up and we go down into what seems like the valley that we can't even lift ourselves up, he's still the great God. He is the mighty and awesome God. We have to understand that if we go before him with singing and thanksgiving, if we just go before him, if you can't sing a lick, it doesn't matter. Go before him praising his name. The Lord's Prayer is one of the strongest prayers, and it was one of the most important prayers that he taught the disciples. And that's a prayer that you can pray in 10 seconds, or you can pray it in 10 hours. But going before the Lord, you know, our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy. Well, right there, I've taught entire sermons. Holy, holy, holy. You're holy. You're awesome. You're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of our thanksgiving. You're worthy of our lives. You're worthy of everything that we could possibly be. You're worthy of our children, our children's children. You're worthy of everything that you've given us to give back to you. You're worthy of our absolute breath. And we have to understand that we're going into a season of incredible oppression, and David's going to get into it and give you a better definition in just a moment, where we have to press in for a greater clarity and revelation and wisdom like we've never had. I pray for wisdom every day, and we've got to be able to see him. I pray that God would give me eyes to see and ears, not only to listen, but truly hear, not only to hear, but to listen, to understand, and have revelation knowledge that I can be a help in his kingdom, that I can pray for you all, that I can be an influence in the seven mountains that are being so much talked about, that my life would be that which would glorify him. Every day I pray this, but every day I don't praise him the way I should. So he's telling us, praise me. You can stumble. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a pastor, a chaplain, a lay minister, that you're just somebody that loves the Lord. If you get so legalistic to say you can't do this or you can't do that, guess what? You'll end up stumbling right into it. Oh, I can't fall because I've done this. Yeah, you can. So this is a year that we're going to go into a new sense of freedom like we've never had before. So let's go before the Lord.
Write that one.
Lord, we just lift up your name. Your name is above all names. We lift up your name before thy very throne of grace. We give you thanks with a grateful heart. We bless you and praise you and adore you and sing our adoration unto you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord, and worthy to be praised, worthy to be thanked, worthy to be worshipped and adored, worthy of all that we are or ever could hope to be, worthy of everything that is of this world and of all the universe, all the beauty that's out there. You're worthy of it, Lord God. You're worthy of our thanksgiving for that which you've done. You're worthy of our praise, our adoration, and our thanksgiving, and we bring them before you this day. As we come and celebrate these times, these seasons of the week of the Feast of Tabernacle, these next 10 days, as we go all the way to the end of the month, to the 28th, Lord God, as that next blood moon comes about, as all the things that stand before us come about, Lord God, we come with a greater emphasis on intercession. We come to recognize that if we'll get on our knees and lift our hands up to you with thanksgiving and a grateful heart, that your mercy and grace will overflow through us and your presence will fill us and fill the place where we are. So, Lord, I ask that your presence fill every person's place where they are right now, every room. It doesn't make any difference if you're on the call now or you call in later. The presence of God, the manifest Shekinah glory of God, fill where you are right now. Let that presence be sensed, known, and be a part of the very being of all those that come to listen in here. And stand with us as we pray for this nation, as we pray for the cities now and the state, as we come to take back the territory that's been lost. As we come, Lord God, to use the secret weapon that you said that it was given to the saints, and that's to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues, that your Holy Spirit would come and break off the yoke of bondage of the enemy, the accuser, the one that's come to try to destroy our lives. Lord God, we come before you, lifting up, Lord God, your name, through your Holy Spirit, the groanings that we do not even understand, Lord, that you would search our hearts and minds, and the Spirit, Lord God, would search yours to know what we're to pray, that we would do this according to your perfect will, and that we would know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose, that we repent, O Lord God, and turn from the wickedness of our ways, that we would be baptized in the freshness of anew in your Holy Spirit, that you would abide in us, like Robert has said so many times. Lord, if we abide in you and you abide in us, Lord, I wear a wedding ring that has that very scripture that it was based on and made for me, that I would abide in you, Lord, that you would abide in me, that you would abide in every one of us, that Holy Spirit, you would speak through us and give us languages we didn't know, that we would speak clear and loudly before you with thanksgiving, that we would lift up before thy throne of grace with thanksgiving and praise, that you would prepare us that we could be filled with your presence, that which we ask of you, Lord God, you would give unto us the blessings and the fruits and the promises thereof. You said to my cousin 2 weeks ago that the word came in their church and the word came to her that the blessings were getting ready, the inheritance were getting ready to be poured out because we had gone in and broken the lineage curses off our bloodline, the Butler bloodline. Well, let this be true for everyone that's out there. That as we come with thanksgiving and a grateful heart and a prayer of repentance and forgiveness, Lord God, and we speak it to remove these iniquities, these curses, that they would be removed and gone from the courtrooms of the accusation and the accuser into the courtrooms of praise and adoration and thanksgiving through mercy and grace. That the Spirit, the contending Spirit, the angels, the contenders, would go forth, Lord God, that the judgment that is referred in Psalms 149:8-9, that we be called to be contending in prayer, and that, Lord, you said the judge says, is there anything you would like to say to your accuser? And we reply, with all due respect, Your Honor, I will quote your word to him, which is the highest praise to you that executes judgment upon him. And the Lord says that our adversaries shall be clothed in shame. Lord, that you shall cover us, Lord God, as we confess our sins. You will cover us with a mantle enemy cannot penetrate. We shall be like a fiery oven in time of anger when that you will show forth your wrath against the evil one. And the fruit of the evil one will be destroyed from our land, and the bad seed will be taken from the children of men, our children, our children's children. And that which was intended evil against us, where the enemy imagined malicious, legalistic ways to destroy us because of our fallings, you are faithful and just to forgive us, Lord God, and these very schemes of the enemy will be turned back towards the enemy. He will be confounded and put to shame. He shall be turned back and brought to confusion because he devised a plan to hurt us. He shall be like chaff before the wind, and the angel of the Lord shall chase him away. The angel of the Lord will persecute you and contend our cause. Lord, you said in this Psalm 109, 29, and 1 and 21, 8 through 11, Lord God, that you have taken the net of the snare away from our pathway. And we are thankful to you, Lord God, that you've established your throne in heaven and that you've given us a place where you literally can come, repent, repent, petition, and praise. And in that, we shall be set free, we and our family. And yea, the word that you gave me a week ago that I sent out to many that received my emails, I asked, Lord, how long? And you said it could be many years. Up to 25 for my life, but it to be that for others and more. If the people would repent, that our nation's not over, but the people have to repent. So let us come to this place this year, Lord, where we're on our knees, on our face, calling out to you for revelatory knowledge and intercession. Lord God, that we pray in the Spirit and lift up your name, seeking wisdom to thy kingdom keys that would unlock the blessings of heaven that will be poured out like never before. Lord God, that we shall literally no longer fear man, because the enemy is using man against us, that we shall go forth and proclaim your way, your will, and be set free from the oppressor. Lord, salvations and deliverance and healings are going to explode this year like never before. You're bringing forth a breakthrough in our lives and in our families' lives because the curses have been relented. They've been removed from the bloodline. The work of the enemy is being canceled. Darkness is being removed. There shall no longer be an encroachment of the enemy into our lives and to our families' lives. Release your light, O Lord, and let your light shine through like never before. Let us shine with the presence of you, O Lord. Let your presence enter into us through your glory. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
And I just want to encourage everybody. There's great oppression in many people's lives. I am totally not surprised of what we're going through. Nor should any of us be surprised at what we're going through. We just have to understand that we can advance with a boldness that we've never had before because of what we're doing. That just like in Joshua 1:7, I love these scriptures. And be strong and very courageous. There was a song I used to sing about that. And it literally was, just singing the scripture, be strong and very courageous. Have I not told you to be strong and courageous? Do not hesitate. When the Lord tells you to do something, step out and take courage. He is with you. He said he will not leave you nor forsake you. To go forth into the battle that he's calling you into, recognizing the days are evil. We're in days just like the days of Noah. And there's great attacks coming on his people, and they don't know what to do about it, but you're being trained to how to deal with the terrorism the enemy has tried to put on us. You're being trained about dealing with territorial rights, what the enemy does to bring about the territorial destruction and how he keeps you in bondage. The first step in bondage is you've got to be set free before your property can be set free. Remember I talked about the first land he wants cleaned up is you. Then as you are set free and as you are cleansed, you can deal with the thief. But you've got to be cleaned up so that you can literally step forward and have a new hope and deliverance. Because if you go in to cleanse your land and your heart's not right, and you clean the land and the enemy comes back, it's like you're buying a strong man, you clean the house. But if he comes back and he finds that it's empty and clean, he's going to be seven times more worse on your land, on your property. So that's why you have to get cleaned up first. You have to deal with those seven areas of racism, of robbing God, of robbing man, of dishonoring parents, idle words and self-curses. Oh, how in the church we're so bad about that. A breaking covenants, about broken relationships, about dealing with the curses of the past. If you will start dealing with these issues and get them cleaned up for you, then when you go to cleanse your land, you don't have to worry about the enemy coming back in and bringing destruction back on the land, because you have the right. You have the territorial, positional right and authority to deal with the enemy. And this goes back to something, again, that Robert Zuloaga and I dealt with several years now. I love the book that he gave me as part of being in the ministry that I was with him, and it was about abiding in God and God abiding in you. So we have to understand that it's an abiding process. It's a cleansing process. We're in a season, literally, of God removing the sins of the nation. That was what the Day of All was about. The 10 days of All with that Day of All was removing the sins of the nation. So as we've come, I ask everybody to do communion on that day. I ask everybody to take, even if it was fasting a meal. So I hope and pray that every one of you have done that, because as we go into this next area, as we go into these next sessions, you have to be prepared in your heart, not in fear, but in confidence of who you are in Christ, what he's done, and what he wants to do. So I'm gonna call on a couple of people. We're going to take a little change here, because I want you to understand that we're in a season where, 2015, and literally you say, well, 2015 hasn't started. Yes, it has. You got to look at God's calendars. Now, a lot of people have some understanding issues with this. God had two calendars. One was a physical calendar, which begins at Tabernacles, the new year, which just happened last Wednesday. Then you had, it was actually 2 weeks now, you had the spiritual calendar, which was the calendar that begins at Passover. Okay, so there's a seven-month cycle there. And people say, well, there's 6 months. Well, it's actually seven because it goes to the end of that month and the beginning of the next month. But he actually does not combine them. They're separate but the same, because in the heavens there was a season prior to the spiritual being given. Same thing on the land. So we saying, well, 2015, actually, 5775 is 2015 on our calendar. The calendar was changed by Constantine. If you don't know that, that's a whole other story. But he adopted the spiritualist days and nights and calendar to get those people to come into the church. He declared that Judaism was no longer to be practiced. The feasts were no longer to be celebrated. It was going to be this, and it was part of the enemy's plan. But 2015, we've got to go into this season now. We are no longer just in the days of awe. We're in a season of awe. We're going to have to be recognizing that man is going to come against us. And God's saying that you've got to be awakened into life unto him with great boldness to move forward, because there's going to be crisis come upon us this next couple of years because of ISIS, because of the attacks, because of these physical things. It's going to require courage. You say, I don't have courage. I'm fearful. God says, don't be fearful of man. Fear me. Awe literally means a reverent fear. If you fear man and you fear the things of this world, now don't be stupid. Don't put yourself out as a target. But if it comes against you, you have the Word of God to stand on. So you got to understand, we're entering into a season where the harvester, the reaper, is going to overtake the sower. And we're literally coming into such great favor that others are going to see, and they go, how have you endured these hardships because of the favor of the Lord? People are going to fall and faint because of fear. Now, some of you know I collapsed a week ago. I was overdoing it, and because of some physical issues, I collapsed. I passed out. My neighbor said, did you faint? I said, men don't faint. Men pass out. Women faint. You had to bear with me on that. But literally, you got to understand that the enemy is going to come in and try to get men and women to faint because of fear. I mean, there's a lot of things, the Ebola crisis, all these things. And God is saying, if you are cleaning your property, if you're cleansing your land, if you are going before me with praise and thanksgiving, if you're serving me with gladness and coming before me with joy, coming into my courts, you know, there's times you're going to go to the courts and you don't have anything to take for him, but you're going to go to the courts and an intercession through the Holy Spirit, praying, and you're not even realizing you're in somebody else's court praying for them. You're going to come in with a thanksgiving that has never been felt before. And I just want to release that in everything give thanks. This is God's perfect will for you in Jesus Christ concerning you, that everything and everything give thanks. Because of the promise of his word, every circumstance in our lives, well, it's out of Romans 8:28. It doesn't make any difference if it's good, bad, or indifferent. If we are called according to his purpose, things are going to work out in your favor. It's by your faith and realizing that he is reliable, he is trustworthy. Yes, he might be considered an absentee father in the flesh, but in the spirit he dwells within you. So the circumstances that you're facing, you can overcome every time. And don't let the enemy get you down. Now, I've asked David to explain something. And David, would you take about 10 minutes on what you were saying? And I'll call you again in a little bit. David Pimbleton.
Well, we were talking about oppression. And, you know, God began to share with me that we need to take a rethink about this oppression, as in the pressure of what it goes on with a baby as it's coming through the tightest part of the birthing process. For the women out there that have birthed children that are on the call tonight, you would understand this. There is pain, there is crying, there is tears, there is, you are not your normal self. And the baby is going through some things and issues in itself. So there's a bunch of this pressure and pressure, this pushing out. And so what came as an understanding is that we are being birthed out into this new thing. The things that are going on with the blessings and the financial things and the lifestyle changes, all of this stuff that's supposed to be a part of what this is in this new place of our lives, it's all being birthed out so that it's coming from what we can't see to what we can see. Because there's a whole bunch of other things that are coming through this thing that we haven't yet seen that we will see. This is a continuous process. And so those that are going through stuff like that, think of it in this way. It's the stuff. It's the old man, it's the old nature, and it's the old things that are being birthed out, removed, and taken away. The old and being done away with, and the new man coming through and being birthed through and being manifested in you of who you were before the foundations of the earth were. It's the new thing. It's the new issues of life. It's the new power and authority. It's the new being of who you are, really, and who you will be continuously becoming in the seasons to come. But we're about to enter into a, I believe, a push of a birth time where we will have a rest, a bit of a peace, if you will, a time to be able to prepare for the next things which will come even in a more powerful way because of the time that we have remaining before he returns of his second coming, the Lord Yeshua himself. And so, you know, that's where what we discussed earlier today. So I yield.
Thank you, sir. And there's so many of us, and I say us. You know, I stumbled this week. I had an attitude lapse. I patted myself on the back, and I had nothing to do with that which came forth. Lord gave me a word about somebody. It happened exactly as he gave me the word. And a healing and dealing with cancer. Now, this woman is a woman that walks in faith. She's been part of my prayer team in the past. She was part of my last church. She goes on missions continually around the world, at least several times a year for several weeks at a time. She walks with a gentleman that called the Elijah Challenge, and they literally go into these nations where they're dealing with Islam and they're dealing with the false religions, India. They're doing heavily in India right now. And literally in India, in this ministry, they've seen healings of hundreds of thousands and over 1.5 million people come to the Lord the last year. So there's just the outpouring, and literally they would call forth for the witches, the priests, and the Islamics and the Satanists to come and heal something which they had put on somebody, and they literally couldn't do it, where they would call out to the Lord, and the Lord would manifest and heal. So when you go into the enemy's territory, and you recognize that God has called you to go into the enemy's territory, and he told you to do something, you're going to be victorious. So the Lord told me to go into the enemy's territory, which is hospitals, and go in and pray. And now she was victorious. Her name's Brenda. Dear friend. And it's not Brenda Owens, it's somebody else. Okay, and Brenda and I have been ministering together for years. When the people could easily ask, well, why wasn't she healed and delivered without having to do that? I said, well, it's quite interesting. God wanted her to understand that he is sovereign. Also, territorially wise, he gave authority for her to go over and heal the sick, which she did regularly. Over in this nation, we have not entered into, I mean, we are in a wicked land, but God didn't send us to another place to bring healing. We are in the place where we're supposed to walk in healing, and therefore we take for granted that we should have these things, and unfortunately, often they do not happen. It's not because of a particular sin. It's because of our understanding of the territory. So when we trespass against Satan's territory, the area that he's claimed, and we do it without the Lord giving us specific instructions, like I said, don't rebuke Satan, rebuke the powers and principalities and human wickedness. You know, even Michael the Archangel would not rebuke Satan because Satan had a right to that territory. Now, unfortunately, this nation, Satan has a right to the territory of this nation. And you say, no, he doesn't. Well, yes, he does. Look at the close to $60 million innocent lives through the babies that have been aborted. And tell me that the land doesn't cry out, has been sold over to Satan. Take a look at what we did to the Native Americans. Now, I'm not going to wave my flag and say I'm responsible. No, but ancestors were, and my family even married into Native Americans. You got to understand, Hitler followed the example, and this is documented. Hitler used the United States eradication of the Native Americans, the Indians, in this nation as a blueprint for the Holocaust. Now, that's a strong statement, but there are documentaries and books written by Hitler and others that you can get this information. So the territory that we are in, even though God has blessed this nation greater than any other nation in history because it was dedicated to him, just like the temple that was stolen, and there was a swine dedicated on the altar. There have been plenty of swine dedicated on these altars. And what you and I are doing is cleansing our land first, and then the land. The nation is starting to have light shine in the darkness. The other day, I saw such a beautiful example. We were in provincial downpours. It's like a monsoon season in Houston. I mean, within minutes, it'll flood, and we have great drainage. It'll flood the streets over the gutters up into the level of the sidewalk in your streets. It'll rain so hard. And then in the midst of that, the clouds open. A great light shone down right in front of me. I went, wow, your light's still shining. He says, yeah, I have not left you. I will not forsake you. Do not fear. We literally have to understand that the land has curses. What we are doing is bringing the light shining through the darkness, through the heavy storms, to set the land, which is, number one, the captives, the people, free. We do so by setting ourselves free, letting our light shine that our land can be set free. And then as we move forward, we're going to take back the land. So be encouraged. We're at that season. We're at that place, you know, where God is just moving. And he's moving forward at such a pace that we've got to be wise because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, you know, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You know, because the days are evil. He said that, you know, when he returns, when the coming of the Lord, it would be like, and this is out of Matthew 24 chapter, he says, it's going to be like the days of Noah. The days of Noah, perversion reigned. Okay, homosexuality was in that time period was predominant. Abortion and literally eating of the babies. Satanism was the primary theme of what carried on. So, if you have read the book The Harbinger, if you've looked at Isaiah 61. If you've read through the scriptures and you get an understanding of what God's saying, and if you'll go through those four books, which most all of you have, and thank everybody that gave the contributions that we could send out these books, what a blessing, and there are going to be more in the future, but you know, as I get discounts and I can pass those discounts on to you, I will. If it's something I can't get a greater discount, I'll just tell you. But America's got to understand something. You know, we're in a fight now because the enemy, now think about this. I said this to one of somebody that's on the call just the other day. You and your bloodline have been subject to ancestral iniquities and curses. Or it could be generation, it could be 10, 20, 30, 40 generations. Not every person in the bloodline picked up the sin, but you were subject to it because somewhere along the line they were picked up. And it carried on. You're going back now. And those of you that participated in our prayer that David and I led several weeks ago, we went back all the way to the founding fathers. We went back to the spiritual founding fathers. We went all the way back to Israel and praying and breaking off bloodline curses. It freed up inheritance that's coming. And that inheritance is a spiritual gift and physical gift. And it is finances for many of you. It is going to be blessings beyond compare to many. Okay, to some it's going to be outpourings of the Spirit you've never experienced, gifts that were held back that were supposed to be yours. So, if you'll go through these books, if you'll do these prayers, I went back just a few minutes ago before the call and reread in the courtrooms of heaven, let me see what chapter it was, and prayed prayers. Oh, wrong book. But it was, oh, here it is. It was the prayer on sickness. I said, Lord, I have allowed myself to come in, to fall into this. Healing and sickness is chapter 8, page 59, on the courtroom of heaven, prayers and petitions. Just because you pray it one time doesn't mean you got it down. The enemy's going to come back and try to throw that same thing back at you or come and sneak in from the backside and bring something even worse. So recognize that the enemy is out there like a roaring lion. He's out there trying to do everything he can to kill, steal, and destroy and take from you that which you have taken back from him. Now think about it. In some of you, your bloodlines have had these iniquities on your bloodlines. Well, like I said, it might be 50, it might be 100 generations. And you went back and broke, lamented, took the sin off the bloodline, and now all the blessings have to be released from the enemy, and they're going to come forth like a flood. It's going to be like a tsunami of blessings coming forth. And it's not just going to get to you. It's going to go across the entire, let's just say I'll pick on David. It's going to go across the entire Pimbleton bloodline, everywhere there's a Pimbleton, everywhere there's a butler. It's going out to all the butlers, whether they prayed, whether they're righteous or unrighteous, whether they're saved or not saved. It's going out. They're going to start receiving blessings because you took the steps to get things set free. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a very practical guy. You really pissed off the enemy. I knew this going into the studies. One of the reasons I told Monty time and time again, I don't know if I want to do this because it's going to stir up. We're going to stir up the enemy. We're going to knock over a fire ant hill. We're going to knock over a hornet's nest, and the enemy's going to come out because they've had your possession, and they consider it their possession for generations. You just took it back. Do you think he's going to show up and just say, okay, it's yours, I give it to you? He's going to put up a fight. What you got to recognize is the territorial authority has been taken away from him personally and on your properties, and now we have to go in and start taking the territory back of the nation. Dr. King's daughter, I got to know some of the people, and I personally don't know the Kings. I knew Dr. King's protege. I'm still a friend of his, even though we're from total different camps. The man loves the Lord. 3 weeks ago, he gave a word to her. It's Dr. Alveda King. And he says, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against America because the people are going to be calling out. Okay? Prayer, the very first thing, has to come to our mind to press through to bring protection to our borders. It's like she talked about Rick Joyner's prayer, and they talk about the Texas border and other borders, how the militia is going to have to be raised up. You know who the militia is in your life? It's you and the angels. It's got to be, you've got to recognize the truth about you and that you have the right to the territory the enemy has taken. But he's not going to like it, so he's going to try to come back and steal it back. So just be bold, be strong, just like I said out of Joshua 7:1. Actually, 1:7 and 7:1 is always true. Be bold and courageous. Do not fear, for I am with you, and I shall not leave you nor forsake you. Walk in your promise with boldness. Understand that you've defeated the devil, but it's got to be an attitude of faith. Not an attitude of, I just beat the devil. No. The Lord says, be strong and very courageous. Do not hesitate. When the enemy rises up his head, bring the word against him. Do not fear. Don't walk as fools. Because the days are evil. Redeem your time. How do you redeem your time? You go before the Lord with thanksgiving and praise and a grateful heart, listening up, studying the word, and pressing in and doing what he said to do. Go back through the books. Go back through this process, the courts. You're going to be called into courts many times in your lives. Many, many times. Don't think it's only one time. So, be encouraged. The battle is coming to your door, but you took back that which is yours in your bloodline. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to call them call as many as I can tonight because I feel this shift. I just believe that the Lord is saying that we have to shift right now. There's a shift in the heavens. I sense it. I feel it. The pressure that David was talking about, it's like the pressure birthing. That compression, I told him, I said, there's many oppressed on this call tonight. And he says, wait, the Lord's already shown me what it is. It's not oppression, it's compression. It's going through the birth canal. And if you get past the thought that it's oppression from the enemy and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to use this oppression as a birthing process, and I'm going to push on through. I'm going to give birth to your promise, to your covenant, to the freedom that you have set us to have, that we will come out a beautiful, joyful thing, a new birth unto the Lord, that you're going to be set free. And that is the word I have for you tonight. God is saying, press through the birth pains. Give the birth. You're going to be set free now. This is the season. This next couple weeks, through the 28th, you see that next blood moon coming up? This is the season of thanksgiving. I don't care what the circumstances is in your life. You praise the Lord. Not praising the Lord for the circumstances. Praise the Lord for who he is within the circumstances. Okay? Give him thanks. Worship him. The most trying time of my life was when my 8-year-old daughter was hit by a car. I won't go into all the details, but I called out to the Lord. And I left the hospital after 24 hours. They ran me off, and I went home, showered, and changed, and came back. And I was walking down the hallways, literally singing the song Adoration. I don't know how many of you remember that. It's from years ago. And it's praise, 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 we praise. You know, praise to the Lord. I was just praising him. And then I went into the high tenor, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and he stopped me. You know, it's in one accord, we praise you, O Lord. Glory and honor and power. Praise and adoration unto your name. And I would sing in the spirit in that song, and the Lord stopped me, and he says, you know how much joy I've given you that I restored your daughter? Because they said she was going to die. And I said, no, she's not. And they said she was going to be a vegetable. I said, no, she's not. They said, she broke her back in three places. She won't ever be able to walk again. I said, no, we're going to walk out of here. And 3 days later, we did. And now, it did cause some things that we had to work through. But God raised her up. She ended up doing things they said she would never do. She was the head cheerleader for 3 years in a row, captain of cheerleaders. As a freshman at her high school, captain of the volleyball team, captain of the basketball team, she was voted the most likely person to head up a country because of the spirit God had put upon her. That was because of God's favor, and we praised in the midst of the attack of the enemy. The enemy tried to take my daughter away. He's still trying to take my daughter away. He's still trying to take your daughters and sons away. We praised him in the midst of it, and God said, I'll raise her up to my glory. Why? We entered into praise and thanksgiving in the midst of my daughter at death's door. I asked him, I said, will my daughter live or die? He gave me the strength to handle the answer. He says, fear not, she shall not die. I will raise her up to my glory. Well, you know what? God wants to raise every one of us up to his glory. Every one of our sons and daughters, every one of our families to his glory. And this, what we've been doing, is part of the process. So with that, David, have you got more about the compression? I know that you had personal word for three of us, you know, about the host of heaven. There's literally legions of angels that have been released for this season. You know, people are sensing them. They're seeing them. Things are happening at supernatural and miraculous. And David, do you have something more to share on that or something else you need to share tonight to bring the word of encouragement to the people in the time of this pressure?
Well, the one thing is that there were angels dispatched to Brenda and Dan and to a friend of mine named Pat in Dallas and to Wade and then another friend in Houston named Marcella. And, you know, and basically what these angels, well, some of them were smaller forces than others. And what God is doing with these, at least the two of these people that I know, or three of them, pardon me, three couples that I know, Pat, you and Wade, you and Francis, and Dan and Brenda, you all, these armed forces are built for, are there to encamp around you and to build a hedge around you. Because of the things that are getting ready to happen and the importance of the roles that things are about to play in what's getting ready to manifest in the natural scene. But that does not mean that the rest of you here don't have angels that are there. I encourage you to pray and seek God for the visitation of himself, of course. But let me pray this. Father, I pray that you begin to dispatch some angels to everyone in the sound of my voice that are needing warrior angels to come to encamp around them to start to build the edge of protection and start to dispatch and to clear out and to clean out and to remove all the, like in the book of Zechariah, where the angels came to remove the filthy garments and to place new garments on. As I was sharing this with Dan and Brenda, and that, Father, the same thing happens to these people, to John especially, Father. I pray that John gets those, that you dispatch angels right now, that an armed forces level situation, and to begin to take all of what has already been ministered through and what he's accomplished and what you've accomplished with him, that all that be removed and cleaned up and cleaned out and preparing his land so that he might know a greater harvest is coming than what he realizes.
Amen.
And why so much of a birthing is being done to him to birth the new man that is emerging through him, that he might walk in the new man that you've had for him before the foundations of the earth were formed, that it might connect to him so that he portrays who he, displays who he is in you in that realm before the foundations of the earth were formed in this world, in the earth as it is in heaven. In Yeshua's name. And Father, I just ask that you just begin to operate and to dispatch the messages, and that these angels that are being encamped, that the encampments be built, the hedges be built, and the fortifications be in place. And instead of a defensive role, Father, I ask that these are dispatched to the offense now, and that they are released to the offensive mode and to offensively go forward and to breach the enemy's camps and to bring the spoils back and laying them at the feet of those that are being brought to these angels, that are being brought to them and them to the angels to these that are on the phone, that they may minister the spoils of war out to the kingdom that is around them and to their own selves as well, so that they are refreshed and restored to walk into this new place. In Yeshua's name.
Amen, amen. I've got, David, I just got this. You and I are going to prophesy over people. I just sense this. I know many people had to leave the call because of different reasons. I know several of them, they've told me what their reasons are. They have other calls that go on and situations that require them to leave. Some left because it wasn't going in the direction. No one told me this. Some weren't hearing what they wanted to hear, and they're going to miss the blessing. So I thank you for those that have stayed on here. I've got a word for several people, and it happens to be the same word in a couple situations. But Chuck, this is for you and your family. I was praying, and the Lord just spoke this. You have chosen to listen. You have chosen, Mary and Martha had a choice. One sat at the feet of Jesus and the other got busy. And you've chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus, not, I'm saying, because of this call, but because you have chosen to listen. And God has marked that as faithfulness unto you and your family. And there's a blessing coming unto you that you're unexpecting. And I don't know what it is, but he's saying there's a blessing getting ready to be poured out for the Nisswander family. Chuck, you particularly, something you've been seeking and not seen But God is saying he's about to release that. And I'm not saying thus say the Lord. I'm saying the Spirit of God is saying this within me, that just open up and praise him. Start thanking him in your time and thank him for everything. I know you thank him for your children, your wife, and your beautiful family. Continue to do so. There's something getting ready to overtake you. The enemy's not going to like it. The enemy's going to try to throw up discouragement, but don't be discouraged. So many people, and I've taught this time and time again in churches, you get right to the door of blessing, and the blessing, the door has discouragement on it. And it's like, well, this door is this door of discouragement. No, that's the enemy saying there's discouragement. Open the door. So the Lord is saying to you, open the door. Even though it looks like it's discouragement, open the door, look inside, because the Lord is saying the enemy is just trying to put up a smoke screen. The blessing is coming. And in that, you're going to receive something that you've not experienced before. So, glory. Glory. Chuck, I believe that you can receive that.
Hey, Wade?
Yeah, John.
I was just thinking while you and David were talking about the birthing pains, you may remember better than I do what Dutch Sheets said about that during the end of the year. That might be something that is really in correlation with what David is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Let me look at my notes. John can tell you, my writing stinks, my wife's writing's beautiful. So she's my note taker. The Lord said, pick up the weapons. And this is not only for Chuck, this is for all of us. Pick up the weapons against what the enemy is bringing about right now. And what are those weapons? That, you know, the name of Jesus. The name and the authority of the name. The blood. Who we are in him. The blood of Jesus. Agree with the word and come in agreement with somebody. Now, don't quickly agree with people. Find out what they want to pray. People say, I want you to agree with me. Well, I'll listen to what they say. Now, I'll literally tell them, I can't agree with you on that. Well, why not? Because you haven't dealt with this. Be willing to start fasting. I don't care if it's just a meal. To help get through. You've got to start devouring the Word every day. And I have to eat, the Lord said, I'm going to have to eat more of the Word every day. And then praise. A lot of you don't know who this person is, but I'll just tell you. His name is Dr. Bruce Cook. Bruce came to my house 4 years ago, and he conducts the Keys to the Kingdom conferences around the United States and brings in some of the best speakers in the world. And he came to my house, and he handed Francis and I the keys, and he says, God has given you the keys. He says, you're the first person I've ever told this. God's given you the keys to the kingdom. You have to find them. And I have searched and searched and searched. And where is that hidden treasure, Lord? Where is that hidden treasure? And then the thing that the enemy stole from me, and many of you don't know this, I was a gospel singer, and many thought I was going to be one of the next great contemporary singers. Between strokes and accidents and the doctor severing my vocal cords and all things, part of it was pride. These things were taken from me. And it was a great loss to me. And I have grieved and mourned over that loss. It's something I truly wanted to do. And he said that he's restoring me. He's restoring my voice. He's restoring not only the voice, but the vision. And I said, okay, Lord, and what am I going to do? And he told me things I can't share with you all. But he's saying the keys were praise. The keys to the treasuries of heaven are praise. So for each and every one of you, it doesn't make any difference if you can sing or not. And I don't know that I'll ever record again or I'll ever have those opportunities. And you know what? They're not important anymore. But he's saying the keys. Go forth with the keys. And those keys are praise unto me. And then Dutch came back and said, there's no more delay. The spiritual warfare is real. It's going to be around us greater than we've experienced in the past because of the season we're in. We're in the season like the days of Noah. And the devil's defeated, but he doesn't want to, he's not willing to give up, and he's bringing fear through Ebola. He's bringing fear through the things the government are doing, coming in, seizing, and possessing. He's bringing fear through terrorist groups. And these things are going to happen, but God. So he provided us with the weapons, and you know, he wants you to understand that he's with you. He's not, you know, he's not forsaking you. I don't know my son. So Don, that'll come to me in a minute. I just don't know exactly where that was. I'll go to him. I said it a key. So, Richard, you know, you and I talked the other day, and it was a blessing talking to you, and I thank you. And I told you something. You weren't on the call when I gave this confession a little earlier. Remember I told you on the heels of your great victories comes the attack, which could be the greatest attacks? So always have your rear guard on. Well, I slipped this week, and I got a little cocky. God honored a prayer for somebody that does it. And it did exactly. He gave me a vision. I spoke it. And then when I left the hospital, I didn't cleanse myself and put on the garment. I didn't put on the rear guard, the blood of Jesus, and didn't call for the angels. And I got very, very sick. You know, I just was fighting having a minor stroke, and that's what the fall was. I had a minor stroke. And the Lord raised me up. I wasn't severely hurt. Nothing has been, you know, messed up. Maybe I lost a few brain cells. But, you know, I'm okay. And then immediately he gave me these words, and all these things that I was praying for was happening. People were getting healed. Deliverances are happening. Things are happening. Richard, you give me encouragement. Chuck encouraged me. Others on the call encouraged me. And I go in the hospital and do exactly what God says to do. I come out praising God, and I didn't put on the fullness, and I let my guard down, and the enemy attacked me, and I became a severe sinus infection. People say, well, you know, physician, heal thyself. You believe in faith. You walk in faith. Why are you sick? I let my guard down. Yeah, right. You counted on this sin in me because I let the enemy slip in. So, now, have I repented? Yeah, I just read again dealing with the prayers about healing. And I walk in healing. I believe in healing. Okay? But things can happen. Life happens. The enemy comes in to try to bring destruction, particularly doing what we're doing. You know, you're taking back from the enemy's camp. He's giving you the promises, so each and every one of you. So be encouraged. Even though the attacks are great, the promise is greater. David, I know you don't know John Underwood. You hear him talk all the time, but I just have a sense about John Underwood. That do you have a word for him? See if God will give you a word as we go forward here.
John, as I was praying and I started to pray for you.
Now, this is two different people. You got John Rockwell and John Underwood. I'm talking about John Underwood. Different person. So
different
don't let
person.
Any confusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Underwood. Father God, I lift up to you, John Underwood. I thank you for the man that he is, and that the man that and the man that's seeking wisdom to know how to operate and to live and to do the things that you called them to be. And Father, in the valley of great decision comes the greatest wisdom of all. And Father, I pray right now in what I'm hearing the Lord saying, John, that the biggest wisdom of your life is being ministered to you. And that it is the time of when you are in the peace and quiet rule of my spirit that I will begin to really show you within my word the revelation of things that I need to work through you and in you, so that it may change the things that you have to do. Because where it is that instead still quietness. It is the peace realm of things and the life of my spirit and the wittiness that my spirit has, the ability to outsmart any place of demonic realm is within that means. And I am here to bring you to that place so that you may know how to walk during the time of the Valley of Decision. Because out of this, the issues of life of many will depend on what you and I walk and work through in this time, in this window, that brings it out and changes the lives of many. And remember this thing, that it is a light yoke, easy burden, not heaviness, not That's a burdensome cool. thing that overwhelms you in a place that you may not know how to deal. That is not me. Ignore it, dismiss it, and stand against it. Because I am taking you through a time of wisdom that changes the lives of many, including your family and yourself.
That's what the Lord just spoke to me. John, this is it. And let me just, don't stop, David. I'm just going to add that in here. The Lord just spoke to me, and he says, this is going to be the season of the change that you've been asking for your wife and your family, children. And there's going to be a shift coming, John. That matter of fact, Underwood, is your position coming to an end there? Or is there a shift in your position at your work, the project?
Well, my contract got extended through the end of the year, but I don't know. It may go on for another 3 months beyond that, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay. What I sensed was, as you press through this, God is bringing a greater release in the area of work and finances. And I'm not talking about the things that we have on the side. I'm talking about in your life. And I know that you're attached to, tied in with Nina and that work. Because of your faithfulness and all that, God is about to show himself strong, particularly. David just hit on the family. There's going to be a newness there. They're going to see a change in your countenance and light that it's going to be recognized as real and not legalistic. You know, the enemy brought in this legalism that we're all battling.
Yeah,
he is the legalist, and it's going to cancel the legalism that was in your bloodline. And I'm going to deal specifically this as my position. I'm going to take a positional authority in just a few minutes. It's going to be, there's going to be a challenge in it, but he's going to take you through the challenge, and you're going to come as victorious on the other side. David, is there anything else?
Well, the thing is that as I began to see the light, the burden light, the easy yoke, I began to see a new step in his life and an actual greater outcome of what lies ahead, because there are things that are coming out from here that is preparing you, John, for what's coming ahead. Not just by the end of the year, this is going to be life-changing, life-altering of everything about you.
Praise God.
That takes you into a realm and a place where the paradigm, the way of life, the way things are going to be, because this is intersecting great connections that are coming that will change even the natural outcome of life.
Lord. know, it's always good when you prophesy people you know. People often think, well, you know this about me. You got to surrender to the Spirit to prophesy. You got to let the Spirit move. Now, there are some of you that I'm not going to prophesy over tonight because the Lord's told me I'm supposed to talk with you personally. But Connie, I want to deal with you. You still online?
Yes.
Okay. The Lord has shown me that you desire, and I've seen this about you, so I can't, you know, this could be observation. Some people say, well, you observed this about Connie. But that you desire a greater revelation. You search and research and press into the things of the Lord. And it also shows in your political position, that, you know, in the republic that you've chosen, but also in your personal life. And there's been a challenge with a family member. And I'm not sure who it is, but it's do you have a daughter?
I have an estranged daughter.
Okay. There's going to be a connection there. There's going to be a time of newness. As you have gone forward and as you have dealt with breaking off the iniquities of the bloodline and your family, she's going to start experiencing new freedom. She's not going to understand it, and she's going to have to call out to you and ask for your help. And I can't say it's going to be immediate, but it's coming soon. And I just sense that. And I don't want you to give up. I know you won't because she's your daughter. But even though she has spoken curses against you, and I sense in the spirit that she has, go in and cancel those curses. Now break them off. Do not allow them to take root. And let go of the hurt from these things. And as you release it, it relents the curse off. And use those prayers that are in that guide. And I imagine you have some, but I want you to do more so, particularly these next 2 weeks, because there's going to be a shift in the heavenlies that's going to cause her to need you, and you're the only one that's going to be able to bring the answers that she needs. And I just sense that in Jesus' name. So, you know, I don't know how quick, but it's coming. And as you remove all these hurts that have come against you and against the family, it frees not only you up, but her. So that's meant to be a word of encouragement to you. Don't give up. I know you won't. Don't give up. The diligence that you've had seeking the Lord, seek after him now for revelation and freedom, like you've not experienced before, that the victory will come forth. And you shall know that you'll know it's from the Lord, the answer that comes forth. Do you have anything you want to share with us? Have you seen anything, experienced anything that God has been saying to you this last couple of weeks?
You still talking to me or somebody else?
Yeah, to you, Connie.
Okay. Well, what I've experienced is a miracle in that estranged daughter. She ran away to Florida. She lived there for a few years. And last year, in the middle of winter, she came back to Wisconsin. She lives 45 minutes away from me. She doesn't want me to know where she lives, but God has told me every time she moved where she was, through other people. And she came back in the coldest weather, and she said she'd never come back to Wisconsin, and she's living right here.
Okay. No, something's getting ready to happen. Yeah.
And the other thing about breaking these curses and everything.
Yeah.
My family, I'm sure they don't know this. They just think they're doing this on their own. But everybody in the family needs a new vehicle. So far, three of them have ordered new vehicles.
Yeah, and God's making a way.
Yep.
You've hit something right there.
Different things happen for each of them. What?
You just hit on something. And you, I said it, now you've said it in a different way. The people, the family members aren't even going to understand.
No. Nope.
It's just all of a sudden they're going to start getting blessed.
They think they're doing this all on their own, finding ways to, you know,
yeah,
to manage it, and they think they're doing it all on their own.
And you know what? It's not important that you or I get any credit. It's important that you've done it. You were faithful. And it counts as a crown of righteousness unto you.
Well, when this started happening, I noticed, I knew one of them could do it because he has money enough to do it. But then when my mom was able to do it and my other sister, and it's just going down the line. And I didn't say a word to them, but I saw it as a blessing that they don't know about.
Yeah. And don't let envy come in any way, shape, or form. You know, you might be the last one. Doesn't make any difference. God has counted this as righteousness unto you. Praise the Lord. All right. That's a good word. Anything else?
Well, there's other things I want, too. One of them kind of came true this weekend. I went to a women's meeting. There was only like 11 people there, but I sang Friday night and Saturday morning.
All right. All right. Praise is being lifted up. Glory to God.
Yeah?
I want to thank you. It blessed my heart when you told me about your daughter moving back, okay? I've got a daughter that lives in Iowa. She said she'll never move back to North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. My daughter said she never moved back to Wisconsin either because she hates everybody in the family. But she's come back to my mother and that side of the, you know, some other ones in the family where she ignored them years ago. Now she emails them and whatever, but she still thinks that I'm not good enough for whatever she thinks. I don't know. She hates me for some reason, I think.
Father, I break off that anger, resentment, bitterness that's been put on her through the works of the major ruling demonic spirit of envy and distrust. And I break it off of her in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I yield, Wade.
Thank you. Thank you, Monty. Let me call on a couple of folks that are fairly new to the call. Matt's on the call. Matt and I are business associates and become dear brothers in the Lord. And look forward to the day that we can get together. Matt, I know you're pressing in. Have you got anything you'd like to share with people tonight?
Well, I just wanted to share something that I dealt with October 8th, which was on the eve of the blood moon. And, you know, that particular night, I just had these overwhelming attack from all these feelings of just greed, evil, hatred, all these things that deal with in the world every day, and unfortunately in the business world there's a lot of people that are not honest. There's a lot of people that do things for motivation of greed and different things. It just, these feelings were so overwhelming that in the middle of the night it just woke me up, so much so that I just had to just turn it over to the Lord, and I just went right into the courts, and I told the Lord to take it. You know, I said, this is, you know, I just cried out to him, and I said, Lord, you know, I just want this evil to be removed, and, you know, it was something I've never experienced, that much pressure like that, and he took it, and there was just this great weight that was just pulled off of me, and you know, the next morning, my wife got up early to leave for work, and it was on the eve of that moon. That morning, she called me, and I got up early. It was still dark out, and the moment I walked outside, it was just, the skies were just open with these stars, and it was just amazing to see God's glory revealed like that. And as I walked out and looked at the moon, there was still a sliver of light. It was actually just starting to cover. And I looked at it, and the Lord just said to me, the battle has begun. And I just sat there and I said, especially after experience a night like that, I said, Lord, the battle has begun, but because of you, we all can just rest assured that you have won the battle and you will continue to pull us through no matter what we face. You're just there. Your grace and mercy is sufficient for anything we can possibly have thrown in front of us. And it was just a word for me just to hold on to, and I just wanted to share that for everybody on this call, because we, like Wade says, we're heading into a season where there's going to be a lot of testing. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be severely impacted by the things that are going to happen as a result of the shaking of this nation. And even in my own family, I had a chance to speak to them this weekend about the season that we're entering. You know, the year of the seven-year rest, Shemitah, all the different things that are happening with blood moon and the cycles. And they just looked at me and then they said, well, this country's been through this before. And I thought, you know, there's just a lack of knowledge that's prepped a lot of people. And I think, you know, the knowledge that's being imparted through this ministry, this call, everybody involved, I think it's a gift that God wants to just impart and carry through to everybody. So I just thank you so much for everything you're doing, Wade, everybody on this call, and I pray, you know, that this light continues to just shine brightly and the knowledge continues to increase. I just ask the Lord for his continued blessing and his impartation of knowledge. And the battle's begun, but he's raising up a spirit within his people to stand alongside him and be his agents of reconciliation in this world and be a light. And I can't say anything more than just thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, and thank you for just the great example and light you continue to impart in this darkness that we're setting into. So
praise God, praise God. Matt, you know, you said something and you told me about it, and I forgot to ask you this week because it's just been a very hectic time period, you know, right after you said you were going this weekend. You and I both know it doesn't surprise you with the family, but you had to bring that because now they have knowledge and they're going to see things that they didn't know, and they're not going to be able to explain it, but they're going to go, Matt told us about this. What does the word say? My people die. My people are perishing, is what he says, not die, perish.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge. And it's knowledge of the Holy One, knowledge of him. Like I said, every time on this call, for just about every phone call, knowledge is greatly increasing. It's knowledge of the Lord. And we're just all stepping into a new place if we can receive it. Some, like I said about Chuck and his family, they sit and listen. Some are taking the action and being proactive. Some are taking steps very slowly because they've got to see it. You know, they've got to experience it. And the spiritual experience versus the physical experience, sometimes there's a distance between. And taking that and combining them, particularly for loved ones and family members, it takes them a while, and something has to happen in their lives. I pray that in all of our families that nothing, you know, devastating happens with any of our family members. I pray that the hedge of the blood be upon us and that the host of heaven encamp around each and every one of us. What Matt has just said, we have entered that season. I think it's obvious to all of us. We're in a greater warfare than has been on this earth in centuries. Even though there's been wars and rumors of wars, and I made a harsh statement that Hitler actually studied the American annihilation of the Native American Indians. And he did. It's written. He wrote a book about it. And it's been used by other people. So our nation has sinned greatly as a nation. At the same time, you and I are not responsible for those sins, but we have the opportunity to remove those sins through repentance and prayer and fasting. Even though we didn't do it, I didn't do the sins, my great-grandfather. It's like I pastored a black church. A lot of those people are some of my dearest friends. The black pastor is one of my dearest friends, and we actually ended up being cousins. That's a whole other story. But, you know, I'm not responsible that his great-grandfather was a slave. I'm not responsible that his grandfather went through the Depression or my grandfather went through the Depression, you know. I'm only responsible for Wade. Yeah, Monty.
I perceive, I believe that Connie's daughter has been influenced by the spirit of perversion, which can pervert the truth even of the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
And if you agree with that, there's somebody else on this call besides Connie that needs that spoken and broken off in their family, and I'd appreciate it if you can confirm that you would pray about that. I yield.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're the next person I'm coming to, Monty. So with the war that we've entered into, you have been given tools. All of you that are listening to my voice right now that have been on this call and that listen to these call later, you've been given tools that most people never get. Use them. And you say, well, I don't agree with this. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I'm dealing with several government agencies right now. I'm dealing with businessmen. And I had to mediate between them. And I says, it doesn't make any difference whether you agree. So what do you mean it doesn't make any difference? I said, accept the blessing. What do you mean? And I laid it out for him. He went, I never saw that. I said, receive the blessing. Receive the blessing of what's being said. And, you know, we can, and I'm going to deal with the spirit of legalism. And the Lord's building up the spirit within me. And David and John and Dan, we're all going to, we're going to get into heavy prayer in just a minute about this, the spirit of legalism. The enemy's a legalist. And we said that, and I wish that Dr. Mosley was on, but he's not on right now. The enemy is a legalist. He takes us before the courts continually as a legalist because he works under the law. The enemy, you got to think about this. The enemy has no grace. No grace and mercy has been offered to Satan and the fallen angels, nor shall there be. Matter of fact, we, according to the Word of God, judge the fallen angels. They know that we're going to be their judge for everything they've done to our family, our nation, the world. We judge them. That's God's promise. So those spirits of perversion, those spirits of twisting the word, that spirit of anger and resentment and bloodshed and demonism, I mean, it's just literally the spirit of Freemasonry. You know, the Mormons are Freemasons. They just don't know it. A friend of mine, Chuck Whitbread, just spent 3 days in a business transaction dealing with them, and he, even though he could have lost millions in commissions and business, he only speaks the truth. And he does it in such a way that people can receive it. And he said he was talking to this man and wife, and he said, you know, you are Freemasons. You know, this religion was built on this. Well, and he says, well, here, do you not believe this? Yeah. Do you not practice this? Yeah. Is your Jesus not the same Jesus we worship? And they said, well, he said, no, really. Is he not the brother of Lucifer? Well, yes. And Lucifer's plan for the earth wasn't the one that God the Father chose. So Jesus came down, your Jesus came down to redeem the earth, and Lucifer is still in the second heavens, battling because he wanted his plan done. Is that not correct? Well, yes. And he went into the perversion of the thing they have to go through in the temple. and to show them how the spirit of perversion has caused an entire people to think that they're Christians when they're not. Literally, they're not, because they serve a different Jesus. And it's a shame. The battles that people are in, it, and then their minds are seared, they're covered up. So I'm going to deal directly with that spirit of perversion. Now, God has given me positional authority. Remember, I've talked to you all about this. You have your personal authority, you have the realm of your family, and then you have positional authorities. Like Connie, you know, in her seat in the Republic, she has a positional authority within that seat. John Rockwell. Many of you that are involved in the Republic, there's almost as many on this phone call now that are not in the Republic as there are in the Republic. And that's because, you know, that is a political, patriotic movement. Not all of us are, not everybody's going to be involved in that. That's not their call. Those that are have positional authority. I have positional authority as the chaplain of the nation. It was given to me. God confirmed it. And he's honored it. All right? So, before I deal with the individual side, I want to deal with the national side. And this is a bold, risky move on my part. But this, I believe, the Lord's saying.
Cover it with the blood.
Yeah, oh yeah. Lord, I just come before you in the name of Jesus by his precious blood. I cover us on this call, myself, my family, my family's family, all my possessions, everything that is that I represent with the precious blood that you shed on the cross. And Lord, right now we come against this perverse controlling spirit, this religious spirit, this Dan, unmute yourself and chime in with me. You and Brenda both. And David, I want you to chime in on this also. And John, you also. We're gonna deal with this spirit. As Vice President of the Nation for the Republic, Dan, you have authority. And Brenda in her position, she has authority. Now, we're doing it as Republics, which is a interim inhabited government, re-inhabited government, and we're interim, and you all recognize that. You and I have had this call, but we have the right to repent. This is a Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We're coming in the spirit, Lord. This legalistic spirit, this perverse spirit of legalism that the enemy is bringing, he's bringing the brethren to the courts with this binding legalistic spirit. Well, Lord, we come before thy courtroom. I don't have an interpretation because it wasn't a word, it was a prayer. Lord, we're coming into your courtroom to bring you into remembrance of your word regarding how you want us to deal with this spirit of legalism, the enemy. You said you've given us all authority over every power, over every principality, over every ruler of wickedness in heavenly places and here on earth because of it. You called the 70 together and sent them out in twos, giving them authority over every spirit to cast out, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. So, Lord, we come before you, and the only way this legalistic spirit authority can have rights and authority over this is because as a nation we've surrendered to it. We've surrendered to Freemasonry. We've surrendered to false religions. We've done everything as a nation to drive you out, as in the days of Noah. Lord, it was asked that, if you would just forgive, just, 10, that Abraham asked, if you could forgive 10, would you have saved that city? And it was a city of 200,000. Well, we're a nation of 300 million. Lord, there's more than enough to call out to you. So, Lord, I just come before you. You said that the steps of a good and righteous man are ordered of you, and you delight in his way. So we come before you knowing that this is the time now to break off the curse of legalism that's on this land.
Yes.
Lord, in the positions of leadership that we hold, not only physically but spiritually, we come before you and repent of the giving the right for this legalistic spirit to come in and dominate this land, to bring fear into the people, to bring control through Jezebel, that Jezebel spirit. And that Jezebel spirit is not a feminine spirit. It has no gender. It has the henchmen to do the job like Ahab, but it has no gender itself. So, Lord, we come before you in the name of Yeshua through the precious blood, and we are grateful for the good things you want to do in setting us free from this binding spirit.
Amen.
For you said in Zechariah 4:6 that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit says the Lord of hosts, we shall do these things. So we come right now and break the authority. We ask that you remove this spirit from this land, from the court of the accusers against the brethren and against the people, into the court of mercy and grace, that you would cover it with your blood to cancel the assignment of this legalistic spirit that is being prevalent in the Congress and the Senate, both in the Republic and in the nation, and de facto and the de facto and the de jure. Lord, that we cancel and we recognize and cancel this work and call upon you for a new freedom through our obedience and surrendering to you, Lord God, all that we are, that we would complete the tasks that are required of us to get the work done, that you would teach us to profit spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and that you would lead us in the way to do it, that we would open up new doors through this prayer, that we would, Lord God, lift you up. You said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you, Lord God. So we lift up you, Lord Jesus. We lift up Yeshua. We lift up the blood that was shed,
yes,
that all false religion, all legalism,
yes,
all binding,
yes,
spirits, all spirits of divination, all spirits that are that Monty likes to address so much, deaf and dumb spirits, all binding spirits,
yes,
that tie into religiosity, that tie into legalism, that tie into control, would be canceled. That you, Lord God, would be lifted up in this nation and you would draw all people unto you, that you would bless the people with peace that come to pray this prayer, Lord, that you would grant us as we lie down, we would not be afraid for what we've just done, but you would give us sleep and it would be sweet. Just as Matt had to deal with those demonic forces coming against him, and Lord, that now his sleep would be sweet, that our sleep would be sweet, that the covenant that you gave us through your precious blood would be poured out upon us, that you swore for our forefathers supernaturally. There'd be great wealth, there'd be great blessings, there'd be great freedom and victory and liberty to the captives, because you would set the captives at liberty, that no evil that would come against us should have place, that no future calamity shall fall nigh our doors, that no wickedness, disease, or infirmity should enter into our families, that we shall prosper in all things in health, just as our soul prospers, that we will press forward, breaking the curse of the enemy, canceling the assignment everywhere he sticks his head up, we take his head off.
Yes, yes.
That we would trust in you to bring about, hold up, that we would bring about, Lord God, light in the darkness, and that light would begin to shine through each and every one of us, through our families, that our families would come to the saving grace knowledge of you because of the light of the example that we have shown in our prayers and our walk. Lord, they might not have understood it. They might thought we were peculiar and weird, that we were liars, that we didn't want them to do well. And, Lord, that that's all lies. Lord, that the perverse spirit that's brought about this is a lying spirit that ties right back into that same group of spirits that has that same root in perversion, that has that same root in legalism, because that goes back to perversion and lying. Lord, that has canceled off our bloodlines. Each and every one of us have supposed to have done this. I ask that we've done it. I ask that we have filled the darkness with your glorious light through your Holy Spirit, that the enemy cannot come upon us. And it cannot come back in. And we would walk through the open door of your mercy and grace into that courtroom with our hands lifted up in praise and thanksgiving, noting that we have been cleansed through prayer, that the sin, the iniquity, the curse has been remitted, that everywhere it raises up its head, it'll be struck down. They will go into confusion. And just as I prayed at the beginning of this call, the canceling of those sins will cause great confusion in enemy camp. He will turn upon himself, expose himself, and be destroyed within himself.
Yes,
and that the people that are wrapped up in it through the repentance that we bring forth, Lord God, they will be set free for the forgiveness that we release. Lord, we do not choose to stand in the gap for these people or the situation. We choose to repent and pray for these people, asking that your mercy and grace would overtake them, that the legalistic right of the work of the enemy that he has, because he has a legal right to them and their souls and their families, if they do not break these things off, that they will never be able to walk in the fullness of your grace unless they gain a revelation knowledge of the mercy and grace that you've given. So, Father, we praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for the perfect resolution of these cases in every one of our lives, that the scriptures that can be brought forth for the word would come to light within us, that the cancellation of these legalistic perverse spirits would be done from the national level down. And, Lord, you'll build a grassroots effort that will bring up an outcry among the nation has never been seen. And we give thanks to you, Lord, for your God. We give thanks for the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross in our lives. We think that one drop of blood could cleanse the earth, and least the fullness of those blood, of that blood, of every drop, that we must stand firm, fearing not, letting nothing sway us from the knowledge of the full work of the blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross, that it was not done in vain, and the work that we're doing now is not in vain. We're not to have any fear, that you are with us. You'll give us the words that we have to say. You'll give us the revelation that we need to have, and your glory and presence will shine through us, that you will bring about an anointing in each and every one of our lives that brings about your divine presence, that we will no longer walk in darkness. And, Lord, we can be like my friend Chuck Whitbread. He can speak to the enemy, and the enemy will acknowledge it, and people will be set free because of it. Lord, help us to walk in understanding and revelation light for thy glory. Now, I'm going to speak this to each and every one of you, and Monty, this has to deal with you also. That perverse spirit that has plagued the family, the girls, and our sons are just as guilty. Dads have us say, oh, man, that, you know, that's my boy. Well, that is just as much a perverse spirit when a young man goes out and gets sexually active or falls into these things. is just as much a perverse spirit as it is on the daughters. Matter of fact, we cause the daughters to fall as men. And we just cancel this from our bloodline. Lord, we ask that you would cancel these assignments. I ask that you cancel on each and every one of us. Lord God, that the spirit of anger and frustration and anxiety against these things that we'd be set free of, that we could actually go and cleanse our lands and be restored, but we first have to be cleansed from these things. Lord, if we are the cause, or we are involved with, because of our attitudes, action, and deeds, with these perverse spirits, Lord, forgive us. We have prayed to be forgiven. We have prayed in each and every one of our lives, and like in money situation, prostitution came into the state. There's a perverse spirit through his great-grandfather. In my bloodline, it goes all the way back to England and the kings of England. It was in my bloodline. Lord, and each and every one of us have a perverse spirit somewhere in our bloodline, that this is canceled, destroyed, the sin is remitted. We're confessing it and ask it be removed through the courts of mercy and grace, and now we're asking that it be done for this nation.
Amen.
Lord, as we go in and start praying this week for our cities, for our states, we pray for the nation, and as by the end of Tabernacles, we're going to lift this nation up jointly to cancel the sins of the nation, and it's going to be a great task, Lord God. There's many sins. We're going to list those sins. We're going to pray about those sins. I'm going to send my partial list. There'll be many things that people will add, and we're going to start standing and interceding, not staying in the gap, interceding for the nation that we be set free, that your glory would once again dwell in the land. Let it begin with us. Let your glory, your presence be upon us. And as it was said to me a week ago, Lord, not God bless America. America bless God and praise him during this season that we and our family and our loved ones in this nation can be set free. Even though there's great calamity, even though there's judgment that's been prophesied, it was conditional judgment. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Okay? Humble themselves. Turn from their wicked ways. Repent. You know? And he would hear from heaven and heal our land. And that's just a short version of it. But, I mean, you're saying this, Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 everywhere. Then you have something further in the prayer that God wants you to lift up, or does Brenda?
I do. I do have something else.
I do also.
Okay. I'm going to pray just a quick prayer here. Father, we come to you on behalf of the nation, Father, and we repent as a nation, and we repent as people, Father, for acting without mercy.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you forgive us as a nation. Will you forgive us as people?
Yes.
For not loving mercy. Father, as the song says, loving mercy more than life. Father, we repent. We lay it down at your feet. We ask for forgiveness, Father, that your people may experience mercy. Without giving mercy, we cannot experience mercy. So, Father, we ask for forgiveness. And we renounce the sin of unforgiveness, of unmerciless and brutal behavior. For abuse, Father, we renounce and we lay it down before you. Father, we renounce it as a nation. And we renounce it as an individual, as individuals, as people. We renounce this sin, Father, and we put it under the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you and we praise you for your great mercy to us, that we will love mercy more than life.
Yes, Lord.
But that's what you founded our founders. They understood a legal system. Based in mercy and grace. Yes, there's law. There's we can't have anarchy. Father, I pray that you'd help us to act in great mercy. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I need to pray about something if I can.
Yeah. And then Brenda.
Oh no. Brenda. Okay, Brenda, good. Go ahead, sorry. You first. You chimed in first. I just wanted to echo that. So after you guys pray, go for it. I yield totally. Sorry.
Okay. Do you want me to go ahead?
Yep,
yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
100,000%.
Okay. Oh, Jehovah God, we just come before you praising you. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. We just praise you so much because you're faithful. You are a good God. You are a wonderful God. You are all-wise. You are all-knowing. You are all-powerful. We lift you up, and we proclaim your holiness before all the earth and before all your people. Well, Father God, we lift up to you this whole area of the legalism. Lord, you know all about it. You know everything. You know what makes it tick. Father God, we ask forgiveness where we have allowed this to come into our government, where we have not been a righteous government. Father God, we don't know all the details, but I don't know when exactly things come in, but I've been asking you, when did these things come in? When did we let down our guard? What happened? And it seems like some of our founding fathers, towards the later years of their life, began to see, just like Paul saw and talked to Timothy, that evil men were coming in. They were going to corrupt the system. And he told Timothy to hold fast to the truth that he had, to hold fast and to not let those who seem to be elders pervert the truth that he had. Father God, it seems like our founding fathers were seeing that we didn't know, we didn't understand. People were coming in, didn't know how this was really supposed to work. They followed the law without knowing the intent, without understanding what it really meant. So, Father God, we ask forgiveness for all this. If you want to show us, if we need to know more details, Father, we're leaving that to you, and we're asking you to show us because we desire to know. We desire to be clean. We desire to be righteous through you. We desire to lay everything down. We desire to be open unto you. Father God, we're asking right now that you put a stay. You put a stay on the spirit of legalism. In fact, we command it in the name of Yeshua to let loose of this republic. We command it in the name of Yeshua to let loose of the people of the republic. We command it in the name of Yeshua to let loose of your people. We do not follow you in legalism. It's really witchcraft is what it is. It's awful witchcraft is what it is. We obey you because we love you. And we obey you through the leading of the Holy Spirit. It says those that obey the Holy Spirit, those that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. We're not led just by words on a page. We are led through the Holy Spirit. Father God, we ask now in the name of Yeshua, and the times demand it, that we have the discernment that we need. I ask now, right now, and I prophesy that the spirit of discernment that we need for the spirit of legalism comes throughout the land and land on God's people in the name of Yeshua. Land on the leadership of the republic in the name of Yeshua. Father God, we need these things. These are things we need in these times, Father God. Lift us up to the level that we need to be, whether we think we're ready for it or not, Father God. You can help us to grow quickly. You can help us to learn quickly and to learn quickly, Father God. We're crying out to you, Father. We're willing to stand strong, but you need to equip us. You need to work through us, Abba, Father. We need to have understanding. Father God, we come against the condemnation that comes through this legalism. We make one little mistake and it's all over us. I see you, spirit of condemnation. It's been working, but it's working all the time, condemning more people. Father God, we're to live through the spirit of the law in Christ Jesus. We're to live in love, your love, Father God, and to be led by your Holy Spirit. Not to be worried, did we do enough? Did we pray enough? Father God, you're big enough to tell us if there's something left undone we have to do, Father God. That's witchcraft. That's uncertainty. That's a what if. That's anxiousness and worry, which you command us not to do. We're not to be stressful. We're not to be worried. We're to spend time with you and fellowship with you, and you'll tell us what we need to know if we have that relationship with you. Father God, we praise thee and we thank you for what you're going to do. We command that these things listen to our public in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Father God, and we pray that the love, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, fall upon us, Father God, that we understand it, that we can walk in it fully. I thank you and I praise you for what you are doing, that you are releasing your people, that you are releasing those who have been in captivity, Father God. I thank you and I praise you that you are leading us out. I thank you and I praise you. Father, I pray that you descend on us more with your prayers, your inspiration, the revelations that we need to open this all up to us, what has been taken from us, all of the truth that the wicked has suppressed. Father, I command in the name of Yeshua, and now be early. Father, we praise you. We humble ourselves before you. We're so thankful for who you are and what you're doing. In the Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. David.
Father in heaven, we come to you tonight. And we humble ourselves in this aspect of Father. We have succumbed to a country that has religious lust of power.
Mm.
That is the sin of the church. That is the sin of where we are. It is lust for power, lust for control, lust for anything, even religious lust, which brings legalism, perversion, and all sorts of evil things stir because of lust. It brings up strife and envy, Father, where strife and envy is an evil work is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, we have traded in true love for you and truly having the power to love one another as you have loved us, for a lust of power. And Father, we repent and ask that you forgive us and show us how to walk out from this lust into true love for you.
Yes,
and
true
love for one another. And not just out of our own mouths, but as you said in the book of one of the epistles of Peter, not in tongue, but in deed and in truth, that we become a display of the real true genuineness of your love, because you are truly love, not lust. Because true love is a preferred for one another. It's about promoting one another. It's about being there for one another, and we're not like we should be, because it was the trading in for the true love, for lust, that opened up the door for everything that's come into the church, that's come into the kingdom, that's come into our lives. So, Father, forgive us. Turn things around. Pour out your love in our hearts, in our minds, our physical bodies, our lives, so that love can heal us and restore us and give us the new walk of love for you, love for one another, and the reality of the deed and truth that we need to be manifesting and living an example, demonstrating, displaying. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord says, if you just truly love, it would turn the world upside down. If you truly love. I asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? He said, yes, I said, take care of the flock. Feed the flock. Love the flock. Do what is necessary out of love. Not because it's the religious obligation to do. I will show you how to love. All you have to do is ask.
Amen.
And I will show you how to be the manifestation and display and demonstration of love. And that will heal the land.
Well, I don't know. Wade is still on the call, but I don't know why he hasn't come back in. John, did you have something you wanted to bring tonight? There he is.
There he is.
He's back.
Yeah, he's back. Oh, is Wade back?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John. Oh, okay. Yeah, I did have something that I thought would fit right in with what we've been talking about, and that is at the prayer gathering we had in D.C. area, we learned about the inside passage, I think they call it, or something like that. Anyway, about the slave trading, and as we learned about that so that we could more fully repent of it, it happened from like 1500 to 1873 or something like that. And so it was a long time. But the slave traders and the slave masters did so many things that were without mercy, like was mentioned earlier. And as I saw that, the Lord started to deal with me about how I had been like a slave trader or slave master in relation to my children when they were young. And I was too harsh with the discipline, not enough mercy, and didn't consider their feelings the way I should have. And so, anyway, I was able to share that with my wife last night to repent to her, and then I still need to be able to hopefully get a hold of each one of my children and repent to them and seek their forgiveness. So. Well, my wife did forgive me, so praise the Lord.
Hey, John, I had no
yeah.
idea about this when I spoke over you. I had no idea. But that's that legalistic spirit, that religious legalistic spirit that caused that within your family. And that has been broken. And, you know, they might not come as quick as you'd like, but they're going to see in you the newness. So So thank God. I pray that your wife would walk in that totally forgiveness, and she could receive it, and therefore you could receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Because of our time, we have gone over, and we go over on a regular basis, but I want to read the prophecy that John Rockwell was talking about, and I want to stand up for this. Now, I didn't call on everybody. I never call on everybody, but I want you all to be encouraged. I need to close with this. I sense the power in this. It ties back in David's prayer. It ties into prophecies for those of you that we prophesied over. And fear not, God's going to give us words of knowledge about everybody. This is a season of prophesying. This was a prophecy by Ken Malone that Dutch Sheets is a friend of his, and he gave it. And I want you to pay close attention to this. This is for every one of us. Matt, this is you and I. This is everyone that's on this, all those that are doing business, all those that are seeking in the ministry. This is a season of giving birth and new life and abundance. A radical remnant of the Lord, pregnant with purpose, is coming through the narrow place, the gifts and visions. The pregnancy is beyond full term. Something has kept this delivery from happening. But suddenly, there's going to be the breakthrough. It's going to crown. The accuser of the brethren has been making accusations against the remnant through generational curses going back decades. And through the past generations, holding back the blessings and the gifts of many. The dreams and visions will now be delivered for the nations. Thus says the Lord, I am shutting the mouth of the destroyer, says the Lord, Isaiah 61:2 and Isaiah 64:1-3. Travail is bringing forth the birth. And this is where he said it, John. And there shall be no more delay. Thus says the Lord, those of you have been carrying like pregnant women, the visions, the dreams, are about to give birth. Out of Zechariah 3, God is about to bring a season of breaking of curses of the generations and iniquities unprecedented in history. Angels are about to break forth to bring the harvest of dreams and visions, and there shall be no more delay. No more delay in miracles. No more delay in setting the demonic depressed free. No more delay in oppression of my children. No more miscarrying of visions and dreams. No more delay in the transfer of wealth. There's no more delay. God is going to release creativity and finances and wealth for his harvest. I'm bringing about a finished anointing to say to the people that I'm reaching back into my treasure chest and bringing forth the promise of the destiny that was destined for your bloodlines back generations, and I'm freeing it up to come into alignment with that which you are to finish the anointing for the giftings that God has had upon your generations, and there shall be no more delay. He's going to bring an inheritance and promise upon our family of salvation, and we shall finish well.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
New mantles are being released as never before. There's a new breed raising up. There's women being raised up who have been quiet and still, that have been in the fire of the womb that is within their bones, will come forth and prophesy, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, proclaim the gospel. Evangelism is coming forth in a governmental area that will be released by the word of the Lord and prove that the decree of the word of the Lord shall come out of your mouth, shall happen. And the nation will experience newness. There will be martyrs, but do not fear. No fear will be within them, says the Lord. Whew. The majesty of these warriors will unite as they lock their shields to bring about great victory. Nothing will stop my move, says the Lord. It's much more precise, much more accurate than ever before. The needs of the people, although great, will be met. Clarity will be given through the word and the knowledge of the Lord, and a direct line of heaven will be established to all those who have ears to hear and listen. The word of the Lord is about to arrange things in the earth, because when it is spoken and actively act upon, it shall be brought to pass. Kings will be brought down by the word of a prophet, says the Lord, and kings will be raised up. God is taken to this movement to a new level. The living word, Logos, will be built upon precept, and the manifestation of his glory shall be brought forth. There's an awakening of the warriors to rise up again, and he's going to align us into the promises of his word, and there shall be no more delay. If that word did not confirm what we've been doing, them having no idea where we are, what we've been praying, or where we've been walking, I can't think of anything that could. We are in the season of the glory of the Lord, which shall be poured out in such great measure as not seen upon the earth since the time of Jesus is about to take place, and we get to be part of it. So do not fear. I don't care how many fall on your right and how many fall on your left. Do not fear. God is with you, and he shall give you the word that you need. He shall raise up an anointing within you, and you shall be a destroyer of the enemy's work in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Amen.
Woo!
May I pray one last thing? Father, in order for birth to take place, the water must be broken. Father, we pray that the water be broken now. We pray, Father, that the waters of iniquity now be broken now in the name of Jesus, that your people step out upon dry land, that no longer shall the law of the sea rule upon this land. In Jesus' name, that it is the law of Yehovah God that shall prevail. That law is broken now in Jesus' name. That the curse of that law, the iniquity of it, now be broken in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I got to share something. I don't want anybody to take anything wrong with this. Now, Matt will understand this because him and I do business together. The word of the Lord over me was that I shall bring living water to the nations. And I said, good, I'm going to go preach. You know, and I thought it was overseas and all over the place. He says, I'd also bring it to the nations here. But he says it would be in the physical and in the spirit. And the word that you had, Dan, just opened up to me the birth canal. Oh, glory to God. He says that word will bring forth the breaking of the water of the birth canal to set the people free.
Amen.
Glory to God. He just showed that to me, that the very word that you were speaking, Dan, was the word that he prophesied over me. And the word, the water that I shall bring, help bring, you and I and all us that have been doing this, will be the birthing water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Glory.
Glory to God.
Woo.
Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We're doing that, people.
Yes.
What you've been doing is doing that. You've got to step up, though. You've got to participate. If not, you no longer can sit. And you all that listen, forgive me, I'm not speaking against you. You got to do this to your family. You got to do this for yourself. You got to step in and get a part of this. If you want a piece of blessing, you got to get in the middle of the river. And the river of the water, the flow, is being broken forth now. This is a breaking of the birthing waters that's taking place right now this night. And, Lord, we accept it. We've stepped forward. We've taken some bold moves. If people you know, people pray these kind of things and have no understanding of the battle or the consequence. We have stepped up to do this knowing what the battle and the consequences are. But we also believe, Lord God, you are with us. You put a hedge around us. The host of heaven have already been released to do battle with us. David saw it. We sensed it. And now the avenging angel, the defending angel, the angel that's bringing restoration and bringing the inheritance, these things have been released. And it's been released over each and every one of you. So in that, I'm going to close. And, Father, we just want to thank you. You're Yahweh, your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's so many names. There's so many adjectives. There's so many things that we can put on your name. We just want to praise you. And I say this again. It's no longer God bless America. It's America bless God.
Yes.
That we can receive the fullness of your blessing in coming and do your mighty work in Yeshua's precious name.
Amen.
I can't thank you all enough. Those of you that stayed with us, and there's so much more. There's so much depth and richness that is being released in the kingdom realm right now. But you got to reach up and grab it. You can't just watch it float by. Get your fishing net. Get whatever it takes. Reach up and grab the fullness of the flow of the Spirit that is being released and has been released. Canceling the sound of the enemy. So I'm going to stop the recording.